Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 1027. It is really good to be back with you on this wonderful Sunday morning. Today I'm going to be looking at God's mercy, God's salvation and God's healing, and how we are God's masterpiece. And I want to begin by sharing a prayer that we're going to read this morning in church, a prayer that really spoke to my heart. And it goes like this, and I just want you to pause and listen for a moment. God of judgment, you reach out to us in mercy, even when we rebel. Soften our hearts with the warmth of your love, that we will know your Son is alive in us. And the part that really spoke to me, and I'm not sure, I wonder what part spoke to you, but the part that spoke to me is, soften our hearts with the warmth of your love. Because I feel at the moment there's so many of us walking around with hardened hearts, and we really need to have that softer heart. When I place this prayer then in the context of the Old Testament reading, it begins to make perfect sense. And I'm going to read from Numbers 21, and I'm going to read from verse 4. Just to place the reading in context, the Israelites have just had success in a battle after they cried out to God for help. So here they go from Mount Hor. They set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became discouraged on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned by speaking against God and against you. Pray to God to take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made the serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent and they would be healed. And so we have the story of Moses making a bronze snake that then brings healing. So in fact, what it is about is, and we have the sense then of the prayer, that the people rebelled against God. They then suffered the consequences of rebelling against God. God showed them mercy after Moses interceded on their behalf, and God then came and forgave them and brought healing to them. And the good news for me then is when we make a mistake or mess up, the God we serve is a God of healing, a God of love, a God of mercy, who then meets us where we are. What does this whole thing mean? And I think what we need to do then is to look at this passage in Exodus, because in this passage in Numbers, which is about the Exodus generation. And the Exodus generation is slowly dying off and being replaced by a new generation. And the book of Numbers for me is about them coming to terms with the fact that the old generation are not going to see God's promises come to fruition. They've been on a very long, dangerous journey, but they're not going to reach the final destination. The bronze serpent on a rod, of course, symbolizes salvation. And when we see that bronze serpent on a rod, we need to remember that when we look at the New Testament reading, and we're going to do that just now in John, it reminds us of Jesus on the cross bringing salvation to the whole of humankind. We could also look at Aaron's staff. Remember Aaron when they went to Pharaoh to get the Israelites released from captivity in Egypt? Aaron threw his rod on the ground. It became a snake. He picked it up by the tail and it went back to being a rod. And of course, from then on, it was actually referred to as the rod of God or the staff of God. So it's not the first time for me that God combines staffs and snakes. It's just interesting to note that in the course of time, however, the people lost sight of symbolic meaning and regarded the serpent, this bronze serpent, itself as a seat of healing power. They made it an object of worship, and so Hezekiah found it necessary to destroy it. And you can read about that in 2 Kings 18, verse 4. Hezekiah became king at the age of 25. He did what was right in the eyes of the law of God, and one of the things he did was to destroy that bronze snake that Moses had made, because people were worshipping it and burning incense to it. Now, when we go back to this place in Numbers where we find the people in the desert, one can imagine how they're feeling. We could criticize them for forgetting so easily all that God has done for them, but we must never forget where they are. These people are in the wilderness, and they're eating manna every day. And I know that if I were to feed Lloyd, for example, the same food every single day, he'd eventually get tired of it, even though we should always be grateful that we have food. And I think that's just a human thing. So they're eating manna each and every day, and so they're grumbling. Here we are in the wilderness. We haven't reached the promised land. You promised us all these things. We're eating the same food day in and day out. We're not eating proper food. And of course, by speaking out against God, and perhaps Moses, but more importantly against God, they then suffer the consequences, and Moses has to intercede on their behalf. As I said, God does offer them healing, but what is important, I think, for us to note, is that God doesn't remove the snakes. He just offers them a way of healing. And sometimes when we turn away from God or make our own decisions and follow what we even know perhaps that God has said no to, and things go wrong and we call out to God to pray, God meets us in that, but we still might have to have the consequences of that around us. God will never desert us, but we may remain in that situation we've created with God's presence, with God's healing. Now, I'm not sure if that makes sense to you, but it was just something that struck me. God didn't make all the snakes die or make them all disappear, but God gave them a way of finding healing and living then with the snakes around. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, I love you, Lord.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
I love you, Lord, on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. This is Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it is good to be with you. This morning, we've looked at the Israelites moaning against God and Moses, God sending snakes to them, the Israelites asking Moses to intercede on their behalf, and God healing them. So in a sense, we've looked at God's mercy, God's healing, and we've looked at God's love for God's people. And how I also think we need to note the power of prayer, the power of interceding on behalf of others. I want to look now briefly at Psalm 107 because it actually tells the same story. And it was a reading set for today. So in Psalm 107, we look at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. So we've just had that reading in Numbers where God redeems the people from the hand of the foe. First of all, of course, we could go right back to Exodus where God leads them out through Moses, leads them out of slavery in Egypt. And then in the story in Numbers, just before we started today, God has redeemed them from the hand of their foe. And he's gathered the people from all over. Then we move to verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. That's exactly what we saw in that Numbers reading. They loathed all the food and drew near to the gates of death. The people got tired of the manna, and they started to ask for something more. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of God's work with songs and joy. And I think that's something we need to bear in mind all the time. This prayer is classified as a community prayer of praise and was probably a liturgy of thanks. And it was offered by worshippers at a festival at the temple in Jerusalem. But I think when we look at the psalm, it opens with an instruction for us to give thanks to God because God, in God's goodness and steadfast love, redeems us or redeems them from their oppressors and gathers them in from all over the world, from all points of the compass, and gathers them together as God's people and keeps God's hand of protection and healing upon them. Of course, the psalmist then speaks, as I said, about how they rebelled against God and they suffered. And so again, we have this very important message that I think we need to hear, that in the midst of oppression, in the midst of being ill, in the midst of perhaps suffering the consequences of decisions we've made without consulting God, we can cry out to God, and God does bring healing, because God is a God of mercy and love. Moving into Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, here we're looking at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And the title that the person has given in this Bible, it would never have been in the original text, is Made Alive in Christ. So what we read is, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So here again, we have this contrast then of the God of love and the way in which people were living. So just like the Israelites, Paul's writing the church in Ephesus and saying, once upon a time, we were also living far from God, not following God's kingdom rules. But because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So again, we have this image of how we were far from God. Through Jesus, we are redeemed, we receive eternal life, and we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance. The main point for me, reflecting on Moses and the Israelites in the desert, and now what Paul is writing at this church in Ephesus, is that at one stage we were all dead in our sins and transgressions, but for those who believe, we are made alive in Christ through God's grace and for God's glory. It's a transformation that should perhaps wake us up to live our lives in a pleasing manner for God, out of gratitude for what God has done for us. It's our response to that. But what we need to emphasize, and perhaps we really need to think about that, is that we can't earn our salvation. God wants us to learn, perhaps, from God's model, God's way of being with us, of generosity, that God saves us while we're still sinners and gives us eternal life. And then we respond by giving our lives to God. If we look at verse 10, we are God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, created to do good works. What is God's masterpiece? According to Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, we are a masterpiece created anew in Christ so we can do good things that God has already planned for us. So when people ask me, you know, and tell me they have no purpose, I think that no matter where we are, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what sort of physical condition we're in, we can always do good. We can always pray. We can intercede. We've seen the power of that through Moses. We can do good to the people around us. We can treat the people around us well. And so we are masterpieces created to do good works. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, there is none like you.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
There is none like you on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona. We've looked this morning at snakes in the desert, God's mercy, God's healing. We've heard the story recounted in Psalm 107. We've looked at Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. We've learned that we are God's masterpiece. And I want to move now into a very familiar reading, and one perhaps that we sometimes miss the context of, because John 3:16 is so familiar to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him should never die, but have eternal life. But I think sometimes we miss the context. So looking at John 3 from verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth will come into the light, so it may be plainly seen that they have done what is right in the sight of God. So in this reading, we are told that God shows God's love for us while we're still sinners. He sends his Son into the world to save us and not condemn us. And it calls us out of the space in which we find ourselves into the light, perhaps exposing that which we've done wrong, but at the same time cleansing us from it and filling us with the light. And I always think when I read this passage, I think of a room in darkness. And lately with load shedding, I think we all know that darkness. If you light a candle or put on one of those little lights, it's amazing how all that darkness is expelled and or dispelled and the light comes in. And for me, Jesus is the light, and by his blood we are washed clean. Placing this reading in context, Jesus is addressing Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who's come to see this young rabbi at night, probably so that his colleagues and family don't see him because he's fearful of that. Jesus speaks of eternal life as a gift. Nicodemus would have found this hard to understand, because even like that rich young ruler that came to Jesus and asked how I can find salvation, and he said, I've done everything. And then Jesus said, give everything to the poor and then come back to me. For Nicodemus, and for the way in which they thought it was that you could earn salvation. And of course, they thought salvation would be a reward then for obedience. And that's not what Jesus is saying to him. He's saying that salvation is a gift from God, but then you need to obviously respond. Nicodemus disappears from sight for a while, and we're not sure if he understood or not. What's interesting for me is in chapter 7, he comes back and he offers a defense of Jesus, asking the judges if they can really find a person guilty before they even know what he's done. And in chapter 19, we're told that he accompanies Joseph of Arimathea, named a secret believer, with very expensive spices for Jesus' burial. This, for me, speaks of a person who has come to believe in Jesus, and it's shown through his actions. And perhaps that's what we need to take from Nicodemus, that no one is beyond God's reach, and even when we don't understand, we need to trust and remain in God. He didn't understand what Jesus said to him that day, and yet after Jesus' death, we see him taking care of the body, which would have put him at risk. For me, as we look at all the readings today, we can rest in the sure and certain knowledge that God is indeed merciful, that we are God's handiwork, that we've inherited eternal life through the work Jesus did on the cross, not through anything we have done, and that we need to be here and do God's good work. Because God loves this world, even the people who crucified Jesus were loved by God. So no matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter where we find ourselves, let us remember to respond in love to God's love for us, because God does love us, and let us do good for God and God's creation. May God bless you this day and always. To wrap up this morning, we have Shout to the Lord and Shine, Jesus, Shine on the Mighty Hot 1027. Enjoy your week. May God bless you. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.